This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca, iTunes, and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
Jackson Katz is a social theorist, educator, anti-sexism activist, and a major advocate of the bystander approach to gender violence and bullying prevention. According to Wikipedia, instead of focusing on women as victims and men as perpetrators of harassment, abuse, or violence, the bystander approach concentrates on the role of peers in schools, groups, teams, workplaces, and other social units. Jackson Katz was in Nanaimo recently to present an evening event, a leadership breakfast, and a workshop for professionals in the field of violence prevention. His visit was sponsored and organized by Haven Society. Haven provides services to women, children, youth, and families who have experienced violence. Grant Waldman is executive director of West Coast Men's Support Society, and Leslie Clark is executive director of Nanaimo Women's Resources Society. They attended Jackson Katz's workshop for professionals who are working to prevent gender violence and create social change. Leslie Clark joins us in the studio, and Kevin spoke with Grant Waldman shortly after the Katz workshop. We'll share audio from that interview.
Welcome back to People First Radio, Leslie.
Thank you.
I first asked Grant Waldman what his impressions were about the workshop given by Jackson Katz.
My impressions would be that it's a very important conversation to have. It's very important content for our community, our society. I mean, the strong message that comes out of this for me is that there needs to be a much more broader conversation, that men need to be included in this conversation around men's violence against women. It's something that typically isn't, it's not the way it's typically presented. It's typically presented as violence against women. And I think there needs to be a paradigm shift, as Jackson alluded to, around including the word men's violence against women, because men have to take responsibility. And I think that'll really create an upswell of support. There'll be more of a partnership between men and women towards ending violence.
Leslie Clark, what did you think about the workshop for professionals that was offered by Jackson Katz?
Well, I think if I was to choose a word, I would say it was a hopeful evening spent there. I'd like to thank Haven Society. It was a tremendous gift to the community, and Tracy Meyer specifically, for all the work that she put into it. Yeah, I feel that, you know, two things that I came away from was that I appreciated that Dr. Katz honored women's leadership up until now, and definitely feeling that, you know, that call to that sort of attitudinal shift that men, you know, we need you to be part of the conversation. Otherwise, I feel, you know, the sense is that women are sort of in a fortress. We need to break that down. This needs to become a partnership. It needs to become a dialogue. It needs to become a conversation that men and women are having together. Otherwise, we really can't move forward. And then we are kind of in that fortress mentality.
I asked Grant Waldman if the greatest hurdle to change was that men have been unable to see sexual and gender-based violence as a men's issue.
I think that, well, it's Jackson, you know, Dr. Katz spoke about dominant story, dominant norms. And so, you know, where do these dominant messages come from? They come from the media. They come from the stories that we hear as a society. So if the dominant story that we hear in the media is around violence against women, it's not about men's violence against women. So, you know, as far as men are concerned in society, they're not the issue. It's not something that's reinforced to them that they need to take responsibility for. So until these dominant messages, these dominant stories shift, you know, men aren't going to know that there's an issue, that there's a problem that they need to deal with.
Leslie, what are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely agree that while we continue to look at this as a women's issue, and we don't look at the role of, you know, how society supports this and perpetuate, you know, this idea that this will just keep going forward and that somehow women are left to solve this issue on their own, that's just not even possible. And I think most, you know, organizations like mine have come to that sort of realization that, you know, we need men as allies. We need men to get the message out. We need men to talk to each other. We need men to enter a dialogue about, you know, is this the way that men want to see themselves, really? I mean, and I think that, you know, most men, I think sometimes there's been a negativity because men don't want to see themselves this way. So the response has been to either deny or not want to have the conversation. And I guess what I'm saying is if we don't want to see ourselves this way, then maybe what we should be having is a conversation instead.
Jackson Katz showed a number of video clips during his presentation as well. He focused in part on the theme of media literacy. I asked Grant Waldman what he learned about encouraging media literacy among boys and men.
I don't know if the word would be learned from it. I think it kind of reinforced to me what I'm already aware of, whether it's through gaming or it's through, you know, the James Bond movies or, you know, Rambo, any of these stories that are told through, you know, through media, through Hollywood, is that they're very powerful, that they have a huge impact on boys and on men and on society in general. And to me, until there's that, I'm going to call it interference or, you know, some way of intervening and having that conversation with the boys just to you know, get them thinking, you know, get them thinking about, so is this something that you relate to, or is this more just of a fun story to go watch, you know, whether it's, you know, James Bond, whatever, you know, is this just something you're enjoying, or do you actually think that this is for real? You know, so it's about having that conversation with the boys and with men about, you know, what's real and what's not, and what do we need to make real in our society for it to be a healthy society.
Leslie Clark, tell us more about the concept of media literacy.
You know, I think in some ways this is the biggest hurdle that we face because there's a huge economic machine that, you know, that's moving all of this. And I think that sometimes sort of, you know, it almost has to come from a grassroots place where we begin to have that, you know, conversation, and then we move up from there because, you know, attacking this, it's just huge in terms of, you know, the economic strength that the media holds, and, you know, they're invested, and, you know, how do we de-invest from that? And, you know, we know it's not benign. It seeps into all aspects of our lives, and particularly, you know, with youth, and how they see themselves, how they express themselves. So yeah, I think it's hugely complex, but, I think that there is always room for change. You know, we've seen that in so many other things where society has just sort of said, you know what, this is not healthy for us and we're not doing this anymore. But it is huge, and it will take a huge concerted effort to begin to address the issues of media.
There are also a cultural and subcultural contexts and dynamics at play, and I observed some of this discussion at the workshop. Here's what Grant Waldman had to say about that.
You posed a question to Dr. Katz about, or made a comment about American social norms or political norms, and seemed to draw a distinction out there. Tell us a bit about the social, political, and kind of diversity factors at play here.
Well, I mean, what I pose to Dr. Katz is that, you know, American society's foundation is on military. The military-industrial complex has been at play since the famous speech by President Eisenhower back in the late 50s, and it hasn't gone away. If it's okay for a country to stand behind violence, then why is it not okay for gang violence to be okay? You know, I mean, these youth are witnessing their country, you know, going to Afghanistan and Iraq and saying it's okay, or, you know, any of these types of scenarios. And so, until that story changes, why should the gang story change?
Leslie Clark, what are your thoughts on cultural and subcultural contexts and dynamics in this?
Yeah, and I think, you know, having lived in both countries on both sides of the border, I can say that absolutely the violence is pervasive in American culture. But I think it's also Canadians need to be careful that we don't have this sort of false image of ourselves, that we're sort of looking and saying, yes, but it's so much worse there. We have, you know, we have our own issues of violence here in Canada, and we have systemic violence and we have political violence. You know, you just look at the conditions on a lot of First Nations reserves. If that's not violence, I don't know what that is. And I think that, you know, when you look at the violence involved in colonialism and, you know, which is has a direct correlation to, you know, the fact that we have 580 missing or murdered Aboriginal women in this country. So I think that, you know, we have our own manifestation of violence. And I think he's correct that it goes all the way up to the political level. It's ingrained in our culture. And there is violence perpetrated, you know, in other parts of the world by the Canadian government and perpetrated here at home domestically as well. So I think that, yes, we do. You know, again, it's one of those things where it's like an attitudinal shift happens. And then, you know, hopefully there's what will come out of that is a healthier culture that starts to look at some of those things.
People First Radio is a program about people, the society in which we live, and the issues related to health and wellness. Coming to you on CHOY 101.7 FM and streaming at CHOY.ca.
According to the United Nations, gender-based violence both reflects and reinforces inequities between men and women and compromises the health, dignity, security, and autonomy of its victims. It encompasses a wide range of human rights violations, including sexual abuse of children, rape, domestic violence, sexual assault and harassment, trafficking of women and girls, and several harmful traditional practices. Any one of these abuses can leave deep psychological scars, damage the health of women and girls in general, including their reproductive and sexual health, and in some instances results in death. Gender-based violence also serves by its intention or effect to perpetrate the male power and control. It is sustained by a culture of silence and denial of the seriousness of the health consequences of abuse. In addition to the harm they exact on the individual level, these consequences also exact a social toll and place a heavy and unnecessary burden on health services. The Nanaimo-based Haven Society recently organized a series of events featuring the anti-sexism activist Jackson Katz. Katz focuses on the bystander approach to violence prevention, and he takes the position that gender-based violence is just as much a men's issue as it is a women's issue. We're joined in the studio by Leslie Clark, who is Executive Director of Nanaimo Women's Resource Society, and we have audio from an interview Kevin taped with Grant Waldman, the Executive Director of West Coast Men's Support Society. They both attended the Jackson Katz workshop for professionals who are working in the field of gender violence prevention.
I asked Grant Waldman about strategies for helping boys and men to change attitudes and behaviors.
In order for boys and men to have this conversation, the men need to be aware. The men need to be healthy, emotionally healthy men, in order for them to convey a message to the boys that is a healthy message. We do mentor work with youth. We go into the schools and we sit in circle with youth between men and youth, and we have conversations. You know, whether it's around bullying or anger or, you know, a relationship, it's about the boys witnessing the men taking responsibility and being authentic and honest about their feelings, not just about what they think. You know, it's about getting into the heart of the matter versus the intellect of the matter. You know, it's about really getting raw with, you know, what happens when men get angry? What impact does that have on society versus men dealing with their feelings in a real way and in a consistent way in their life? I think that has huge impact on society.
Leslie Clark, what are your thoughts about changing attitudes and behaviors and strategies for doing that?
Yeah, I would agree that, you know, obviously the schools are a good place to start. I think that not nearly enough work is being done in the schools to really give youth, men and women, actually, the tools to deal with this. Because, you know, we talk about it, you know, not being specifically a women's issue, when it comes to sort of reframing masculinity, there's a role that women have to play in that as well. And I think, you know, having some discussion, I think often there, it's like nobody's mediating that. And I think that discussion needs to be mediated. And I think that people need to be given the tools, because it doesn't come naturally to people, and it's not comfortable for people. You know, I talked about when I was at the workshop with Dr. Katz about, you know, being witness to denigration of women, and, you know, seeing a group of men not know how to respond, you know, and feeling like they're sort of just paralyzed by the moment because they don't have the tools. So I think, you know, really, you know, saying, you know what, it may not feel comfortable to stand up and say something, but we're going to give you the tools that doesn't, even if it doesn't feel natural, like until it does, you've got this to fall back on. And so I think some of that's fairly important.
Jackson Katz and other anti-sexism activists focus on the importance of the bystander approach. I asked Grant Waldman for his thoughts about that, and here they are.
I could call it bystander. I could call it witness. It's what Dr. Katz emphasized, that it's about everybody. It's not just about the perpetrator and the victim. It's about the community, and about the community taking action and taking responsibility versus standing back. Because by standing back and not taking action, we're taking action. By the sole fact of being inactive, we're being active. We're condoning. I mean, one word that I thought of that when he was speaking about bystanders is around enabling. By not taking action, by not talking with youth about being respectful of women and taking responsibility in their lives, we're enabling them to not take responsibility and not be respectful. So we have to have these conversations with our youth, with our male youth and female youth, around these topics, in order for them to learn healthy ways of being.
Leslie Clark, tell us more about the bystander approach and what you heard at the workshop and what your thoughts are now.
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's absolutely right that it's a complex dynamic, and it certainly involves it's not just a sort of victim perpetrator dyad. And I think that you know, giving people the, like I said earlier, the tools to address this, and also deconstructing it for people, because I think sometimes it's a felt thing. They feel like they may be dominated by somebody, you know, there's other sort of dynamics going on there. But having a deeper understanding and sort of starting to deconstruct this and pull it apart for people so they can better understand sort of what the underlying mechanisms of this are.
Are there active trainings in bystander approaches that you're aware of? Is there an actual kind of formalized approach to this?
Well, Dr. Katz has programs that, you know, can be implemented in community. He himself has programs that, you know, communities can look into. I think it's one of those things also of having a dialogue across the board. You know, instead of often we have sort of one agency or one community group dealing with this. I think that, you know, why not have, like, say, in Nanaimo, have a group of people that work in partnership in the school system and in other agencies to kind of get us all having the same dialogue and moving in the same direction. That would seem to me, you know, kind of the most effective way to go about this.
I concluded my brief conversation with Grant Waldman by asking him if he had any other thoughts he'd like to share as a result of having been in the Jackson Katz workshop.
Being in a room where probably, I'm going to say 90 to 95% of the audience is female, in a talk about male violence against women and sexism, there's a lot of work to be done. That's what it brings to mind for me, that there's a lot of work to be done in regards to bringing men into the fold, to the invitation for men to be involved in partnering with women around ending violence, around ending male violence against women, whether it's the White Ribbon Campaign or Walk a Mile in Her Shoes, whatever it takes to align with women who are trying to end this violence. I think it's so critical for men to get involved with this and to support our community.
Leslie Clark, what else would you like to add to our conversation today?
Yeah, just that, you know, it's similar, you know, that we see women, you know, showing up to these things in kind of large numbers. And I would say to men in the community that are listening to this now that, you know, have, you know, an interest in finding out more about this or opening up a discussion that, you know, if you missed Dr. Katz, you missed something pretty important, but that doesn't mean the conversation can't happen now. And I encourage men in the community and leadership and just men throughout the community to come and have that conversation. Let's, you know, it's an open invitation. You know, I know from ourselves and from Haven Society that we'd like to have this dialogue go on. We don't want it to sort of just stop with the workshop stop and now we're done. This is an important dialogue towards creating healthy community. So
thanks very much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you very much.
Grant Waldman is Executive Director of West Coast Men's Support Society, and you can find them online at westcoastmen.org. Leslie Clark is Executive Director of Nanaimo Women's Resources Society. You can find them online at nanaimowomen.com.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.